Romans 11:11. But it says, I say then, they did not stumble so as to fall, did they? May it never be. He's speaking of Israel. But by their transgression, salvation has come to the Gentiles to make them jealous. See, that's our job and our task as Gentiles, is to walk in the salvation that's been so freely offered to them. To see and to be that manifestation that encourages them to see who He really is. To see that as she was crying, they're crying out day and night at the wall for the Messiah, and for them to come to the place of recognizing the Messiah has come and these Gentiles have found Him. Because if they'll become to that place of recognizing that, salvation can come to them as well. So now if their transgression be riches for the world and their failure be riches for the Gentiles, how much more will their fulfillment be? That's just a huge introduction into what God is intending for Jerusalem and for Israel. And how much His heart aches for this nation to be with Him. How much His heart aches for you and His individuals to be with Him. And Paul goes on, but then he goes on to just remind people about being the branches and telling us the warning side of it. Verse 20, quite right, they were broken off for their unbelief. But you stand by your faith. Do not be conceited, but fear. For if God did not spare the natural branches, He will not spare you. Then behold then the kindness and severity of the Lord to those who fell, severity, but to you, God's kindness. If you continue in this kindness, otherwise you will also be cut off. He's encouraging us. Don't fall back. Don't shrink back from what you know. Don't shrink back from what God has already deposited in your life. Don't shrink back from that salvation that He's so freely given you. Don't shrink back from the grace that He's put into your life. Don't shrink back from this thing that's been established within you, so freely given to you. Oftentimes, we get to the point where, God, I don't know if I can step out and do that. When we do that, we're shrinking back from what we know. We can't be the testimony to this Jewish people if we shrink back from what we know. We have to stand and be a testimony. We have to stand and allow Him to speak in us and through us. Complacency. See, there's a complacency that comes a lot of times with Christianity. You know, you're on fire and you're like, just like Carrie was displaying a moment ago, that fire and that zeal for what God is doing in your life and for what God is doing in the nations. And then all of a sudden, after a while, there's just a complacency. See, complacency is the enemy of true Christianity. Complacency is an enemy that we have to root out of ourselves. Because just the same as He rooted out that complacency within Israel, He'll root it out of us too. And that's a good thing. It's something to be embraced. Because see, you can't, if you have complacency, you can't have the fire. Part of the consecration that God is doing is rooting out complacency. As He roots out complacency, then a zeal can come forth. The zeal for His house. The zeal for His people. The zeal to see salvation happening. He wants to minister in the street. He wants to minister in the penthouses. He wants to minister in the marketplaces. But there has to be a zeal upon us, because if all they see is some sad sack person, they're not going to understand the joy of the Lord. If you're wearing a frown and a cloud of depression, who wants to be like that? You know, I had enough of that when I was in the world. I want to wear the joy of the Lord. I want the excitement and the zeal of His presence to be with me. And that's what I so loved about Carrie's presentation, was that there's an excitement within her. This is obviously part of her DNA. And there's a conviction that comes upon us. As we see. So continue to share it that way. Because see, we need to be excited. Because God is something special. And God is doing something special within you. And each and every one of us has that opportunity. I think a lot of people got touched just even during the worship time today. That was my prayer, was that people would receive from Him and receive a breakthrough and a breaking off of the strongholds and just an opening up of a passion and a zeal within them. And I believe that was happening even in time of worship today. Paul loved the Jewish people, even though so much that he was willing to lay down his own life and suffer hell forever. I don't know of anybody that I'm willing to suffer hell for. And I want to say it right there. Maybe that's selfishness, maybe not, but Paul loved the Jewish people that much, even though his ministry wasn't to the Jew. It was to the Gentile. He was called to a whole nother people group that were not his own. Some of you here may be called to another people group that are not your own. But he loved the Jew so much. He had such a passion for them because he had had the miracle of stepping out from underneath the deception. He had the miracle of meeting his Savior face to face. In Acts 9, that's recorded as he comes up and he meets them. Acts 9 in verse, came about as he journeyed, he was approaching Damascus, and suddenly, that's the way God likes to show up, suddenly, a light from heaven flashed around him, and he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? He didn't know what happened, but whatever came and just knocked him off his horse, that was Lord. He had enough understanding to know, this is Lord. I don't know who you are yet, but obviously you're Lord. That's the impact that God has when we meet Him face to face. That's the impact that God has, and we begin to understand He is Lord. And you know, every area, we'll submit every area of our life to His Lordship. He can have that same kind of impact upon us, and He'll have that impact through you to another. We can begin to declare Him as Lord. Begin to allow that Lordship that He has to be the Lordship that stands over you. And we know that from there on, that there was a great transformation in Paul. The transformation didn't happen overnight. Some things obviously happened very miraculously. Paul was already a very learned man in the ways of religion. But now what he began was his journey into relationship. And out of that relationship was birthed revelation. And that's what God is intending for us. He never intended for the words themselves to be all that there was. He intends to have a relationship with you. And now that relationship has birthed the revelation of what He's going to do. And that's what I was going to talk about today, was the Holy Spirit and all that He does to reveal. Well, we'll do that another time. To reveal. Because see, Holy Spirit comes to reveal. He comes to be the revelation. He comes to bring forth revelation. He's going to bear forth fruit, and He's going to bear forth the testimony of who Jesus is in your behalf and in the behalf of those that you're speaking to. When your healing comes, He's bearing forth a testimony. When your joy comes forth, He's bearing forth a testimony. When the depression breaks off, He's bearing forth a testimony. Know that He has that impact for you. And so as we begin to know Holy Spirit, as we begin to express Him and allow that expression of Him to come through us, things are going to happen. So this coming week, just begin to consecrate yourself to listening to His voice and being aware of who He is. Pray softly for a few moments in tongues, just in the middle of the day, just stop on purpose, and pray in tongues, and begin to engage the Spirit of God within you. Begin to listen for His voice as you pray in tongues. Because see, as you begin to exercise and just forcefully cause yourself to exercise this, it'll become a habit. 30 days from now, we can look like a whole different generation if we'll begin to exercise these things. So I'm encouraging you, just take those things today.
As Gentiles, our number one purpose and destiny and calling is to bring in the Jewish people, to provoke them to jealousy, but the number one way that we do this is through prayer. And so I just want to, each one of us are called to pray for the Jewish people and to pray for Israel. There's a lot that's being said right now about being in divine alignment, getting everything in alignment in our lives. And if we're not in alignment with God's purposes and God's will for the Jewish people and for Jerusalem, then our life can't be in alignment. That is where it starts. And so I just want to encourage each one of you to get those scriptures that are out there and begin to ask God for his heart for these people and begin to pray for them, because it is the greatest thing that we can do as a Gentile is to pray for the Jewish people. And when we do this, you're blessed. When you do this, you align yourself up with the purposes of God. I truly believe that one of the main reasons why the United States is blessed is because of us supporting Israel. And as that lessens, we'll be less blessed. And it's the same thing individually as you support Israel through your prayers in whatever way. And so I just really want to encourage each one of you to go before the Lord with that and get his heart for these people. Get his heart for this land. You know, I went there in 98 and God just wrecked me from that moment forward. Just a heart for the people and a heart for the land. And he told me that I would be coming back to live there. And so I know that that's my destiny is to be there. My heart is to also see him break that mountain. I want to be there when it happens. So I just want to encourage you to just really go before the Lord with that. And every day, I mean, just take one scripture. It'll take 1 minute. You know, start with that, because as you pray, you'll begin to get his heart. Amen.
One of my doctors is a Jewish man, and I've shared with him on several occasions. And finally, one day I said, Lord, I don't have anything else to say to him. And I had my new cell phone. And the Lord said, yes, you do. So I flipped it over, and my little granddaughter had placed a picture of a banner I made that said, Jehovah Rapha, my healer. So when the doctor came in, before I gave him a chance to say anything, doctor, I have a new cell phone. And he said, congratulations. And I flipped it and showed it to him. And he was startled. And then he said, what is this? I says, it's a banner for Jesus, our Messiah.
Mm. So that was glory.